You are my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Names have meaning, right? Today we're going to talk about names and the power of naming. So I want to ask you, what is your last name and what does your last name mean? Do you know what it means? What does your last name mean? Names have meaning. And beyond the etymology of those names, that is like the origin of our names, the breakdown of them, whether you're a descendant of a smith, someone that was a blacksmith, or a baker, someone that was a baker, I think there really truly is a deeper meaning to our names, right? Your name is connected to your accomplishments. Your name is connected to experiences, good and bad. There are things that you are proud of and things that you're ashamed of that your name is connected to. Names are connected to status. Names are connected to relationships, your history, your legacy. Names have meaning. So I grew up in a town of 400 people, Kellogg, Minnesota, and with a family of five boys and my two parents being teachers, our family name, Stark, was well known. My family lived in the same house on the same street for several decades. Our place in the community was known. My brothers and I were involved in sports and music and theater and academics, and in this small town, people recognized us and they knew us by our name. You know, even though I haven't lived there since 02, when I moved away from my parents' home to attend college, I can still return to many places and spaces in the neighboring communities where the Stark name has some weight to it, where people recognize me. Being a Stark meant that I was connected to a family. It meant that I belonged to a family. It meant that my family was known. It meant something. In fact, it meant that I mattered. That's the deeper meaning of my name. Now, I share this story not because I want to talk myself up, but because I think it reinforces the power of names. No, Stark is not Kennedy or Bush or, you know, Trump or something like that. But on that little blip on the map known as Kellogg, Minnesota, Stark means something. Because names have meaning. They do. In Luke chapter 3, we hear about the power of names in the Bible. We hear that the people had gathered to be baptized by John, and they were excited. They were filled with expectation. They were questioning whether or not John, the one that was baptizing them, whether he was the Messiah. Could he be the long-awaited Messiah that they were waiting for, thirsting for, they asked. But John says, "No, no, no, not me, guys. I baptize with water, but the one who's coming after me will baptize with something altogether different. I'm not worthy to untie his dirty, stinky Nikes, his sandals. He baptizes with fire and the Spirit, and I baptize with water." Then we hear that when everybody was baptized, including Jesus, who was gathered in this crowd, the heavens were opened up and a Spirit descended upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. You know, I think this story about the baptism of Jesus of Nazareth by John the Baptist on the muddy banks of the River Jordan remind us that, like Jesus, in baptism, we all have a name with a deeper meaning to it. God calls him and calls each of us as his followers, beloved. Beloved. You know, scholar David Loess has written this about baptism. Quote, he says, "I think this passage is important and timely because it helps us recover and reclaim baptism as a dynamic, present tense activity rather than seeing as a quaint ritual or ceremony." End quote. Baptism. You know, every time we have a baptism in church, I always say it's an outward and visible sign of the invisible. And the invisible is the grace of God, the grace that washes away sin, but also the grace which promises ongoing forgiveness of sin and an ongoing relationship with God. But perhaps baptism, just as it did with Jesus, provides each of us with something more. a name. Beloved. And with that name, we are given an identity. We are called a child of God, one to whom God is unwaveringly and unfailingly committed to. And friends, I think in the 21st century, that name, child of God, beloved, and that identity of being claimed as God's child has never been more important. Names have meaning. And there's something deeply sacred in naming. Because those names are rooted in identity, in the essence of something or someone. Names. When Sonia and I were pregnant with our son, we had to think about whether he seemed like an Elliot before we named him. We had a few other names, but we decided to go with Elliot because that is what he felt like. When Sonia and I adopted our dog, his name was Oscar. Oscar. You all know him as Cooper, but his name originally was Oscar, but we named him Cooper because it seemed like that was a grumpy dog name, Oscar. Oscar the Grouch. And he seemed so sweet. You know, when we give someone a nickname, we often think about their identity. What makes them connected to that name, whether it's appropriate or inappropriate? We give them a name because it seems to speak to their essence. Think about when someone takes on a new name. It's very important. It's sacred. It's connected to who they are, to their identity. When Sonia and I lived in the Twin Cities, I tutored this young man from South Korea. He was in fourth grade at the time. He took the name Samuel, Sammy, but his South Korean name was Junwon. He wanted to sound more American, so he took the name Sammy. And that changed his identity. You know, think of the importance of naming in the LGBTQ community as well, folks. Transgender or queer folks who feel called to live into their gender identity, they might choose as a part of that journey to go by another name. And we can name things as well. When we name a room or a building after someone, that is a sacred thing. And maybe you don't think about it because you see signs and placards. They kind of get absorbed into buildings. But in naming those spaces and places after someone, their legacy is celebrated and remembered. There's a power in names. You know, we live in a time and a place where so many would like to identify and peg us and define us by names. You're a Dem or you're a Repub. You're a conservative or you're a liberal. You're an American or you're a foreigner or an illegal. You're a gay or a straight or a transgender person. You're rich or you're poor, you're black or you're white. The list of these names goes on and on and on. And we're also named and defined by the things that we purchase, right? The things that we love, the things we use, the brands. I love Under Armour stuff. Got a lot of Under Armour. It kind of has become a part of me. Or Nike stuff. Or maybe you're an Apple person. Are you a Mac person? Or are you a Windows person? Are you a Google person or a Samsung person? Do you like Hulu or Netflix? Amazon or... well, nothing can compete with Amazon, really. But all of these company names, they kind of lend a particular sense of self. And these brand labels tell us a great deal about our identity. You know, just this last week, I got into a conversation that got a little heated about my Google products versus one of my friend's Apple ones. So there's meaning in names and labels. So church, I think this is why it's so important for us to remember our primary identity, you know, our name that we have been given as a child of God, and how in baptism, just as it did in the time of Christ, it names and continues to name us as God's beloved and prepares us to go out on a journey. You know, the other names that we go by, they are important. They're not worthless. But as David Loess says, while all these other names, affiliations, identifications may describe us, They dare not define us. As the only name we receive in holy baptism grants us the life we enjoy in Christ. Names have power. In the very next passage after our reading for today, Luke's gospel records that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tested by the devil. This happens only after he's been baptized, folks. Only after he has been named beloved and worthy as child of God. It is then that he has the ability to go out and face into this temptation. I think this tells us that when we remember that we are God's children, no matter who we are, we are able to survive and thrive among the competing forces in the world, the things that want our allegiance, the things that want to take our identity, the things that want us to make them a priority. Baptism helps us remember who we are by reminding us whose we are, God's beloved children. Names, they have meaning, they have power. Naming is a sacred act. Names give us identity and purpose and authority and much more. And as David Lowe says, we have been given an awesome family name. We are God's beloved children. And each time we wash, each time we are near the water, each time we make the sign of the cross, we remember that name and are renewed in faith, hope, and courage. Amen.